This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. While there's been much written about the American healthcare system, both praise and condemnation. Praise for the outstanding breakthroughs in medical science and medical care in this country, and condemnation for the lack of access that some Americans have to the best the system has to offer. Michael Milligan, an actor and playwright, has crafted a one-man show entitled Mercy Killers that serves as an indictment to the American healthcare system. And he's here with me right now in the studio. Well, joining him is Dr. Kathy Faber-Langendoon. She's professor and chair of the Center of Bioethics and Humanities at Upstate Medical University. Welcome to you both. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
So, Mr. Milligan, you've been invited here by the Center for Bioethics and Humanities to perform your play. Tell us about your play. What's its storyline?
My play is about Joe, who's a mechanic from southeastern Ohio. He's a blue-collar guy with a red state perspective on things. And his wife gets sick, and he goes through incredible lengths to try to care for her. The play is set in a police station interrogation room. So the context of the play is something bad has happened, and you find out right away that his wife has passed away. So this is Joe's testimony to the police about how she died. And it gives him the opportunity to describe their struggle in trying to pay for care. They lose their house, things like that. And the sort of the dramatic tension in the piece is that Joe is kind of pull yourself up by the bootstraps guy. He identifies himself as a libertarian. He likes to listen to Rush Limbaugh at the shop, things like that. So as he's telling the story, really for the first time, I think, to another human being of everything he's been through, he's also grappling with the paradox between his view of how the world is supposed to work and the experience of what's actually happened to him.
So, I know it's really difficult to do this, but what would you say in your mind the central theme of this is? Is this a transformation of this fellow? And if so, from what to what? I mean,
well, I think I'm very interested in Greek tragedy. And so I've tried to structure the play according to those kind of, you know, a sort of classical tragic form. And what that means is in the classical tradition, you need a noble character, right? So I really try to present this guy in all of his virtue, right? His self-reliance and his strength. And then what makes it tragic is that there's a limit to that, right? And so what the theme of the play about is, I think, showing the limit to that sense of self-reliance and strength, and the moment when that individual, the character, sees that limit in themselves and also sees how they are complicit in the tragedy that they find themselves in. So I think also that in addition to exploring the healthcare system, the play is also about sort of deeper questions about American society. In particular, what is the limit of that virtue that we treasure as Americans, which is our individualism, our self-reliance, that kind of... Our liberty, yeah, absolutely. And that's something that he actually talks about in an episode of Rush Limbaugh, where Limbaugh is talking about de Tocqueville, who explores the contradiction between the idea of liberty and equality, and so I think that's what the play is exploring, and maybe questioning, you know, maybe we have gone too far in one direction, yeah, maybe we're out of balance, and that in our pursuit of liberty and self-reliance, we have
perhaps we've lost a safety net and our social responsibility to
the social responsibility, I think, and also just our underlying need and desire for community that people naturally have. In the play, there's this, Joe talks about a bake sale that he's set up, you know, for his wife, and you know, it's a wonderful event. The community gets together, they have this bake sale, and unfortunately the bake sale only raises 160 bucks or something like that. But, you know, we do these things. We want to take care of each other. We have that impulse, but because we're, you know, it's kind of a half measure, right? We like to take care of each other, but at the same time, we don't want to pay taxes, right?
There's always been that force in America, I think, between this notion of rugged individualism versus the need for community and the idea of the social underpinnings that should save those who cannot take care of themselves. I think that's been a dynamic tension in our entire history.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it sounds like this is really kind of targeted and hitting that mark. So you're saying it goes beyond really just looking at the healthcare system, but what the healthcare system actually reflects about our values.
So. Yeah, absolutely.
So Dr. Faber-Langendoen, what prompted your department to invite Mr. Milligan to present the play?
Well, our department is in the medical university, and at the core, our interest is in using ethics and the humanities to promote healthcare that is more compassionate and more just. Those are really core values for us. It seemed like this was a terrific opportunity to use theater to open a discussion about whether our healthcare system is as just and as compassionate as it can be. In addition to that, we've been working on a new effort in physicians and social responsibility, encouraging our medical students and physicians to, when the system doesn't work, to see that they have a responsibility to change the system, to not just accept the status quo. So we have a terrific elective with students in it who really want to change the world, and we thought this would be a great way to engage them in hearing from a patient and family perspective how the system works and fails to work.
It's a wonderful effort. I know you're a trained actor, Mr. Milligan. Tell us about your background.
Well, I got started when I was very young. My mom was a professional storyteller, so she would take me around with her. You know, she performed at schools and libraries and that kind of thing. And it was always a treat when maybe a couple times out of the year I would play hooky and she would take me along with her. And in some ways, this piece is a extension of that. I feel like I'm doing the family business.
You're telling a story, very definitely.
But in terms of my training, I went to Juilliard, and I got sort of my background initially was doing Shakespeare. So I've performed Shakespeare around the country, around the world. Actually, I got to perform with the Royal Shakespeare Company in Stratford, England, which was sort of a, you know, who imagines when you've grown up in Westerville, Ohio, that you're going to be performing in the theater next to Patrick Stewart.
Incredible.
So that was great. And so I've been performing around the country doing regional theater, and I've been on Broadway several times. So.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with actor and playwright Michael Milligan, and we're talking about his one-man show, Mercy Killers. So is this a call to action, this piece? And do you view the playwright as an activist or a social critic?
I think the playwright can be those things, and in the best sense, I think a playwright ought to do that. My favorite playwrights are people who have that, like Arthur Miller, I love and respect deeply. As a call to action, I hope so. I really hope so. I feel like the play works on many different levels, depending on where you're at on the spectrum. I hope that it moves people who are sympathetic to the idea of universal health care into being activists and actually trying to bring it about. I hope that for people in the middle that it makes them sympathetic to universal healthcare, and I hope for people on the other end of the spectrum who believe that everyone should just be looking out for themselves, I hope that it makes them at least question their position.
So. Dr. Faber-Langendoen, tell me, what do you see at the core? You've alluded to the importance of using ethics to make medical care more compassionate. What do you see the main issue here, or issues that the play brings out? I mean, basically, you were unable to save your wife in this play, am I correct? Because of the system and the fact that you ran out of money and there was no support. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of it. Another part of it is just the horrific impact in terms of the experience of going through the illness.
And it was breast cancer.
It was breast cancer. But how the experience of that was exacerbated by the anxiety and fear about paying for the care. So, you know, whether the outcome would have been different is up for debate. Maybe she would have passed away anyway, maybe not. But the experience of being, you know, losing your house, of having the last time that you're going to have together, have a cloud over that experience of the worry and the fear about the finances and things like that.
So Dr. Faber-Langendu, and I want to come back to you. Just
so I think for me, the key question that this helps us look at is whether healthcare is something that everyone should have access to, like we think about as for primary education in our culture. We think everyone should have access to that, and it's a societal good. Or whether healthcare is like college education, that only those with certain resources should have access to. And we'll find out ways to get a few more people into our college doors, but that there's no particular right to college education.
So is it the idea of right versus privilege?
It's not only is it right, but it's a sense of what is the sort of compassionate society and just society in which we want to live? Is it acceptable to us fundamentally to say a tenth or a seventh of our populace won't have any access, and another third have really inadequate access to health care? Would that be acceptable in basic education? No. Why is it acceptable in health care? And it's that in which I think we need to engage.
I want to make sure to mention that I know you have been involved in these hearings that are going on in New York State about a health care bill that's being proposed for universal health care. Just briefly, I don't want to run out of time. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, it's a New York Health campaign, and there are a number of legislative hearings happening around the state to find out the public response to this New York Health bill, which has been around for several years now, to create a universal health care system that will cover all New Yorkers. This is something that's going on around the country in different states to take advantage of something in the Affordable Care Act whereby states are allowed to innovate. There's the state innovation waivers, which if a state can demonstrate that more people will be covered under the state plan, then they can receive waivers from the federal.
What's unsettling is in the face of the Republican Congress wanting to dismantle the entire Affordable Care Act, which what you're suggesting is running directly counter to that kind of effort. So,
well, you know, I think that an argument could be made that, you know, we would welcome the maverick Republican support on this, and that we're trying to cut out the private insurance companies is the idea behind the New York Health bill. So.
Well, I have so many more questions, but I'm afraid we've run out of time. I wish you the best with this. Have you gotten good response overall?
Oh, yeah. The response has been tremendous, and that's what keeps me going.
Well, I can't thank you enough for coming in and sharing some of this perspective with us, both of you. My guests have been Michael Milligan, actor and playwright. His one-man show is a poignant drama about the American healthcare system. It's called Mercy Killers. And Dr. Kathy Faber-Langendu, and she's professor and chair at the Center of Bioethics and Humanities at Upstate Medical University. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.